Sports Radio.
What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is awesome to be with you on a Monday. Nice to have you here. Big Monday. A smack-off date announcement coming a little bit later on. Lots of NFL. Got some NBA, some NHL, some boxing, and more. Lots to get to. Let's not waste any time. We are live in Southern California in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Since I'm announcing the smack-off date later on today, you should try to get through right now. Remember, you have to be in it to win it. It's a qualify-only event, so start dialing. Phone number is toll-free. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. The show sets up like this on a Monday. JLC, Jason Lockenfora, joins me in about 15 minutes. Final thoughts on the draft. Coming up in studio in hour number two, 10:40 Pacific, 1:40 Eastern Time, Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, the middleweight champion of the world, will be here in studio in the second hour. Sam Amick at the top of hour number three to talk some NBA. Once again, you know how to get through. Call me, tweet at me, email me, go to my Facebook page, check me out on Instagram. Like everybody else, I'm set across all the platforms. Mark up any and all of them if you want. Also, some major jungle karma. How about Cruz Pedregon getting his first win since 2014? Big win for Cruz. And the jungle, I want to hit that a little bit later on as well. Got to start with some NBA, though, because something truly amazing happened in Game 7 of the Pacers-Cavs series yesterday. Now, I'm not talking about LeBron going off for 45, 9, 7, and 4 steals, even while battling leg cramps once again, because you knew that was going to happen. And I'm not talking about the Cavs winning, because there was a very good chance that was going to happen. I'm not talking about LeBron maintaining his perfect record of never being eliminated in the first round. No, the truly amazing thing that happened in the Cavaliers' win was that LeBron finally got some help. Not a lot, mind you, but just enough. Incredibly, a few of the scrubs that he's been running with actually bothered to show up. Like Tristan Thompson, who was thrown into the starting lineup in a moment of genius or desperation from Ty Lue. He had a double-double. Kevin Love had a few clutch threes. George Hill came back from back spasms to make some key contributions in the second half. I mean, I should be amazed by what I saw from LeBron yesterday, but the amazing thing is, I'm not amazed. I fully expected it. I mean, we're spoiled. Nothing this guy does, even 15 years in, with all those miles, surprises anybody. I mean, if I'm like you, or you're like me, I fully expected at least 40. I fully expected nearly double digits in rebounds and assists. It's completely insane. Not just that he willed and dragged his team through the entire first round, but that everybody knew it was going to happen, and still nobody is surprised. Vic Oladipo was on the other end of that. He was not surprised.
Did what he always does. It's not really shocking. He's the best in the world. That's what the best does. Now I got to work so I can get on that level.
Good luck, Vic. I mean that sincerely. Good luck. Because I know you're probably out there working right now to get to that level. Except LeBron is on a level that we have never seen before. 33 years old, 15 years in, and he's doing this stuff, and it's not a one-off, but he's doing it nightly. I mean, it's shocking, and then not at all shocking at the same time. I could sit here and talk about him scoring 45 on 25 shots on busted legs when he should have been absolutely gassed. But that to me is not amazing. What's amazing is Tristan Thompson made 5 of 6 shots. Now that's amazing. I mean, I could talk about LeBron leaving the game with cramps, coming back in, and still being absurdly dominant, but I'm more stunned by the fact that Kevin Love and the others did not completely fall apart when LeBron was in the locker room and then on the bench. I could talk about the fact that LeBron is superhuman and that his back must be tired from carrying the entire team into the second round. But I'm still way more surprised that George Hill was able to do anything at all because of his own back. Because LeBron going for 40-plus and nearly having another triple-double is not a shock at all. Everybody knew he had to do that for Cleveland to have a chance. as he said, showing up and dominating like that was, quote, what the doctor called for. And I had to go out and try to make plays, and I did that, end quote. Except the doctors actually called for him to have an IV at the end of the third quarter, but he shook that off. But then again, Tristan Thompson, who finally did show up and not a moment too late, was not surprised at all. Quote, I thought I had a good motor, but his motor is unreal. He's got a Lamborghini motor, end quote. Yo, T, respectfully, I know you played 35 minutes yesterday, and that's cool, but your motor is a lawnmower compared to LeBron's. I mean, there were three games in this series that you didn't even bother to take off your warm-ups, so let's not be hyping your motor, much less comparing it to LeBron's motor. However, maybe the most surprising thing of all from yesterday was that LeBron admitted after the game that he was, in fact, tired.
I'm burnt right now. I'm not thinking about Toronto right now until tomorrow. I'm ready to go home. I'm tired. I want to go home.
You're tired. You want to go home. Of course you're tired, Bron. Anybody would be who had to put an entire team and town on his back and go up and down and play both ends of the floor 40 minutes a night, seven times. Of course you're tired. Problem with that is it's just not sustainable. The Pacers were tough. The future is bright. But right now Toronto is better, and it's only going to get tougher for LeBron. That guy had to go with a superhuman effort just to get them out of the first round. There's no way he can do that three more times. And despite that unbelievable conditioning and the lengths that he goes to take care of his body, I'm not even sure he can do it one more time. But at least he gets the chance because he went to the locker room at the end of the third quarter and the Pacers had pretty much erased the Cavs' 14-point lead. And it was inevitable that those scrubs that he's been running with were going to implode, cost them the series, and LeBron would have played his last game for the land. So the shock is not that he showed up the way he did. It's that Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, and George Hill showed up the way they did. Problem is, these guys can show up like that every single night, and it still won't be enough to get them out of the East. Not unless LeBron can give them 40 and 40 every single night. But even that guy can't do that. For a round, sure. But not three more rounds, and maybe not even one more round. 1-800-636-8686. Cavalier fans, how hard were you gripping? How hard were you gripping when he went to the locker room with cramps, not the first time that's happened, and he turned that game over to the scrubs that he'd been running with? Incredibly enough, they showed up. Not only did they not cost them that series and another second with the Cavaliers, they may have actually saved it. There you go. All right, talking about the NFL draft. Some reaction to that, and there were some amazing moments after the first round. Amazing moments. Dallas trolled hard by a kicker, no less. Shaquem Griffin getting drafted, which was absolutely awesome, and more. So I'll break that entire thing down. I've got JLC coming up in about 5 minutes to help me with that. I want to talk about the LA Dodgers. That team looks nothing right now like the team that went to the World Series last year. And manager Dave Roberts has seen quite enough. He benched Cody Bellinger for not hustling out on an extra base knock. Have you seen that play? What do you make of that play? Did it look like he was dogging it? Bellinger said, look, he's the boss, but I play hard all the time. I would never, ever dog it. Dave Roberts says, hey, we've talked about this. Obviously, he didn't like Cody's response to it. Or maybe he was looking to send not only the player a message, but the entire team, because right now that team is playing like garbage. And they've got the Diamondbacks next, 4-4. Smack-off announcement coming up later on today. I have got a date, so you can lock it in. You know exactly what the day is. You want to make sure that it jives with your schedule and your vacation and your work. That's coming up, too. Email number one, Jim. I was afraid we were going to see the dying gasp of LeBron 2 here yesterday, but the King and the Four Dwarfs live to wheeze another day. And I've got huge respect for the Pacers. They showed a lot more heart, grit, and want to than LeBron's alleged supporting cast. You gave it a hell of a run, Indy. Signed, Marty in the Land. Unwar post-NFL draft grades. I see you working. I'll get to that later on. Both those points. Indy did play a hell of a series. They lost four games by a total of 14 points. They're only going to get better. They gave the Cavaliers all they could handle. They've got nothing to be ashamed of. Email number two, dear Cavs, 7 games in the first round. If you make it all the way to the finals, we will be happy to take on your broken down, exhausted squad. Regards, the Golden State Warriors, Scott in the Bay. War the Warriors, showing the Pelicans what a real playoff team looks like. Yeah, that was curious, wasn't it? So, Steph Curry is supposed to go in game two. How he goes, if he goes, remains to be seen. Do you bring him off the bench? You know he's going to be on restricted minutes, I'm sure. But as good as they looked in game one without him, imagine how scary they're going to be if he comes back and he's anywhere near the Steph Curry that we know. And one of the reasons they look so good, right? Tempo, pace. The Pelicans like to get up and down. The Pelicans like to push it. They're nothing like the Spurs. The Spurs are older, slower. They like to junk it up, muck and grind, make everything difficult. Golden State didn't like that very much, and they look like it. The Pelicans, though, don't play it like that. And the thing about the Pelicans, that's what got them here. They're not about to change right now. They're not going to start walking it up. So if Golden State gets Steph Curry back, and Steph Curry is anywhere near MVP Steph Curry or postseason Steph Curry, then once again, it is Golden State and everybody else. And you have to worry about the Cavs. If the Cavs have to play the way they're playing right now and rely this heavily on LeBron, they're not coming out of the East. They're not going to get out of the East, not unless he gets some help. That might be enough to just barely get by Indiana in the first round, but they're not getting out of the East unless that guy gets some help. And by help, I mean even more than last night. More than 5 minutes of help. Dear Jim, the Cavs increasing their lead over the Pacers while LeBron was out clearly proves they do not need LeBron in order to win the championship. Sincerely, Cruz Pedregon did need a car to win the NHRA race at Charlotte yesterday, and Mike in Indy doesn't need Chael Sonnen in order to win the Smack-Off. Signed, Denlesk's non-dependent emailer. Warhawk being extremely confident that he doesn't need you in order to win a daytime Emmy. Nice job, Denlesk's. All right, so Cruz Pedregon did get his first win since 2014, and I want to get into that later on, maybe even hour number one. I may actually have a surfing take for you. That's right, brah, brah, a surf take, brah. Largest brah. Wave ever recorded, brah.
Brah.
How big do you think that wave was, brah?
Brah.
All right, stay with it. When we come back, JLC, a senior NFL insider for CBS Sports, helps break down the NFL draft. Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, in studio next hour. Sam Amick, top of hour number three. We are loaded. Now, so how'd your weekend go? Better question, how did you sleep last night? I can tell already, as I'm going down TweetDeck, looking at your phone calls, you didn't sleep very well. And why is that? Sunday stress or somebody in your bed was snoring, or even worse, you were snoring. I've got the solution. It's the revolutionary Zipa device. Zipa is a game changer, I'm telling you. If you snore, you are not sleeping. If you are not sleeping, you know you're not succeeding. You have to sleep. If you want success, you've got to be at your very best, and Zipa is the solution that's going to help you get that sleep so you feel your very best in the morning. If you snore, you need to get a Zipa. Do this right now. Go to ZYPPAH.com. It's easy to remember because Zipa is just happy Z spelled backwards. Go to Zipa.com right now. Get yourself a Zipa. It is a revolutionary sleeping device. Tell everybody you know who has this issue to get one too. Remember, ZYPPAH, ZYPPAH. Zipa, get the great sleep that you need and you deserve with a Zipa.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Cruising through hour number one on a Monday. I'm Jim Rome. Busy, busy show. Once again, middleweight champion of the world, Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, joining me in studio next hour. But right now, we are joined by an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. You can see him every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS during the season. He is also the co-host of the Be More Opinionated podcast. Jason Lockenfora joins us. JLC, the draft is finally over. I know how hard you hit that thing. How does it feel the day after the weekend?
Relief. I couldn't wait to get out of the house. We went to the Orioles game yesterday, even though it was like 45 degrees. I love the draft. It's a lot of fun. It's obviously become a 24/7, 365-day-a-year cottage industry. But, yeah, no more mock drafts for me for another, like, 363 days. So I'm happy about that.
Chase Lockin for my guest. All right, then. So the Browns get their man on top. They get Baker Mayfield. Then they take Denzel Ward with the fourth pick overall. Now that all their picks are in, what does this first draft for John Dorsey tell you about the way he wants to build that team?
Go big or go home. It was all about risk and risk reward and risk management. And they definitely were willing to go bold. I mean, Mayfield at one, they're saying we think he's the best quarterback by far. They had their pick of any of them. A lot of people think he would have been available at four. Ward at four, obviously the consensus top corner in the draft, Jim, but at what price? And will he be better than Bradley Chubb? And could you have got him a 12 if you moved down with Buffalo and picked up pick 21? I mean, you could make a scenario not all that far-fetched where they take a quarterback at four, they trade back to 12, they pick up 21, and then they get Lamar Jackson at 32 because they had, what, picks 33 and 35. So asset management, Callaway, that's a big risk. Could be the best receiver in the class. Could be a guy who gets in a lot of trouble with Josh Gordon and Baker Mayfield in that locker room. The offensive lineman they took at the top of day two. Some I talked to think he'd be there at the top of day three. So John Dorsey didn't care. He was going to build the team his way. He took a lot of risks in Kansas City. Some worked long term, some worked short term. And we'll have to see how this plays out. You know, we'll talk again in 3 years, and we'll have a lot better idea about who won and who lost.
Jason Lockin for my guest. When you talk about Callaway, you're talking about Antonio Callaway, who they get in the fourth round. Jason, let me move on. There were rumors about Darius Geis during the draft and the suggestion that TMZ might have a report on him. Based on your reporting and what you know, what was out there about him?
Well, there was a lot of concern. There were character concerns. There were concerns about his ability to interact with others, his ability to be coached. And whatever the, I guess, the end game of this was, or whatever the reality of it was, the perception that there was some gotcha piece coming, I heard from multiple NFL teams that they were hearing this. Now, where it came from and whether it's true, obviously, I don't know. We'll find out in the coming days if anything does come out. I wasn't reporting anything on him personally, but multiple personnel staffs were feeling a sense of trepidation that there might be something about him that we don't know that's going to drop. And this time of year, that alone can have a negative impact. The bottom line is he went to a great situation in Washington where, when healthy, they have a pretty decent offensive line, where they're going to be able to maybe get some run action things opened up because of Alex Smith and his athleticism, even at this stage of his career. And if he plays well, he's going to make a lot of money on his second contract, and whatever he lost, you know, he gains. But I will say this, I don't think he was going in the first round regardless. So this idea that there was this monumental slide because of this, I don't think the Seahawks were taking him regardless of whatever people were hearing Thursday night at that spot. I don't think the Patriots were either. So he was going to go in the second round.
Jason Lockenfora joining us. Jason, the Raiders sent a third-round pick to Pittsburgh for Martavis Bryant. What do you make of that trade for both sides?
It's a win for the Steelers. I mean, they were, if they could have got a four for him, they'd have been really happy. At the end of the day, if he was a true malcontent and they just feel like it's not worth it and he's not going to get another contract here anyway, I think they would have taken a five that moved up based on production. But to get a three, they were doing cartwheels. I mean, that was a no-brainer. And this was John Gruden who made that call. It wasn't some underling. It wasn't GM Reggie McKenzie. It was Gruden who ultimately called the Steelers and hashed this thing out and got it done. Make no mistake, he is ruling that organization in every way, shape, or form. There's still a lot of rumblings that there may be a shakeup. To what degree, I don't know. But certainly there's going to be some changes within that front office. I'm not sure, again, how high that'll rise. But it's something that's been talked about there for quite some time. And John Gruden was another guy willing to go bold. That's very much in his nature, and it played out through this draft. I mean, should he got more than the third-round pick that he got to move back five spots? I guess it doesn't matter because Colton Miller's somebody they really like, but could they have got more there? Drafting the pass rusher, Key, I mean, that's another kid, big-time character concerns. If it all pans out, it may be a steal. He might be the second-best pass rusher in the draft. He also might have a two- or three-year career. But, you know, Gruden's not in this to twiddle his thumbs. He likes action, And there was plenty of action from the Oakland Raiders throughout this draft.
Well, you got a ton of that, all right. Jason Locken for joining us, breaking down the draft. Jason, you and I are on the same page when it comes to this one. You raised the possibility that when we look back in a few years, that Arizona trading up for Josh Rosen might be one of the smartest moves in the draft. Why do you like that move so much for the Cards?
Well, I mean, we're talking about, you know, I talk about risk and gamble. This is a mitigated risk. Do you want to think, wait and see if he gets to you at 15? Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. But for a third round pick, go ahead and get him. In terms of the most NFL ready right now, a lot of teams I talked to don't have a dog in this fight, who weren't drafting a quarterback, but you evaluate them all, feel like Rosen should be the best one from day one, and maybe over time, the totality of his career, the best pocket passer in this draft. For the Cardinals, I mean, Sam Bradford, what are the odds he gets through November, much less an entire season? Glennon's just a dude to stand there and hold a clipboard. So they had to make this move. They rue the fact they didn't get Mahomes or Watson a year ago. They saw other teams jump up and snag those quarterbacks. They had to get one of these four. I just wonder if over time it's Brandon Bean and the Buffalo Bills, and I've championed a lot of what they've done, but they chose Allen over Rosen. Could have had either one when they moved up to seven. That's something I'm interested to see how it plays out over time. But Rosen, I get the personality. Not everybody's cup of tea, but he may be the best of this bunch.
So why do you think Buffalo made that decision? I mean, are they going to go back to the, well, there are elements, you got to really rip it through the wind and the sleet? Was it because of his personality? Why do you think they took him over Rosen?
Well, I think, you know, the arm strength probably had something to do with it. Not that Rosen doesn't have a strong arm, but, I mean, you talk Allen, it's easy to fall in love with that arm talent. It's easy to fall in love with that body type and even his demeanor. I gave me pause some of the stuff that came out on his social media, but I understand, you know, he's also a high school kid at that point, and within what context was he making those comments? Regardless, I think it's something that, you know, teams had to at least talk about before they made this move, but they were very comfortable with Josh Allen. And look, the upside is there. If it all comes together for him and he cleans up the footwork and a little bit of decision-making, then you may be looking at a perennial Pro Bowler. But there's others who say you could be looking at Jake Locker. And obviously the Bills, they've done this homework forever, Jim. I mean, they've been working on quarterbacks since before last season started, quarterbacks for this year's draft. They knew they were going to be in this boat to get one. They had their choice of two. You know, he's the one that they went with. And again, nobody knows. I mean, nobody could legitimately sit here and tell you right now which of these four is going to have the best career and how much better it's going to be than the other three.
So let me go to the last one then, because you're the co-host of Be More Opinionated. It's a podcast. You're a legend of Baltimore. You've had a few days, Jason, to think about this. What does the pick of Lamar Jackson in the first round mean for the Ravens and for their future?
Well, I think you have to look at it in a couple of ways. And maybe these two ultimately are tied together. First, you look at it through football. The way the Baltimore Ravens have played offense, and they've been an offensive for the most part on that side of the ball, really even when they were winning Super Bowls. They had an amazing run, you know, with Flacco, the second Super Bowl they won here. But it has been difficult to watch, and fans, frankly, have turned away. And there's empty seats in December for what amount to home playoff games, and people saying, no thanks. We don't want to see three-yard checkdowns 30 times a game from Joe Flacco anymore to a bunch of puny slot guys. We're over it. And you want to find the absolute polar opposite of Joe Flacco? It's Lamar Jackson. Everything about him is completely different, you know, mind, body, soul, personality, than Joe Flacco. And this market was desperate, begging for something else. And Steve Bisciotti, the owner, knew it. So, yeah, it's about football and maybe getting the best athlete in the draft and a guy who could be a modern-day Mike Vick. But it's also about re-energizing a fan base that had turned them off and saying, we hear you. We're going to try something completely different. And, Jim, he's going to be on the field in September. There's no doubt in my mind there'll be a Lamar Jackson package. When your offense is 31st every year, why not? He's an explosive player. If you cultivate him the right way, the potential is boundless. But they had to do something here different to shake it up, to say, we hear you, and we're going to give you a different product to root for down the stretch. You said the word, future. It's about selling the future, because hope right here in this city about football lately, it's been hard to find.
I love that pick. I love that pick, and I love where they got him. One last stop before I cut you loose, Jason. The draft is over. So what does the market look like for Dez Bryant?
Not great. I mean, there were some teams, New Orleans for one, who'd done a lot of work on him and said, well, if we don't take a wide receiver with on the first day or the second day, he's someone who would make sense. Well, they took a kid in the third round. They're very high on him. They're out of it. You know, the Giants, that's where he wants to be with his boy Odell. I'm not sure how much Dave Gettleman's feeling that, but if the price is low enough, I wouldn't rule it out. I look at a team like Seattle, where, you know, Dez knows he's going to go somewhere for the short term. He wants to relaunch himself into the market. So what do? You need a good quarterback and a team that has the chance to win. Well, Seattle has both of those. Green Bay's another team I've heard that he's interested in. Ultimately, somebody's going to sign him. It's not going to be for huge money, but I expect it's somewhere like that where he feels like there's a quarterback he can connect with right away, a team that can make some hay. You know, in Seattle, trading down to take a running back, they passed on Ridley. They passed on DJ Moore. They passed on Hayden Hurst, the tight end who went in the first round. So that may be a fit.
Yeah, and they waited until the fifth round to get an offensive lineman, which does not make a whole lot of sense to me. But he is an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He's the co-host of the Be More Opinionated podcast, and the sun is out in Be More, so I better cut you loose, Jason. Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Great work, as always.
Thanks, brother. Time to walk the dog. Thank you.
Get some. JLC joining us. He is the best. He hit that thing hard throughout the entire offseason, getting ready for the draft, and it's finally done. So sun's out, guns out, get the dog a walk. It's a good time. Of course, it's always like that here in SoCal. Just saying. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. So I've got a smack-off announcement coming up a little bit later on. We are wide open right now until the middle of hour number two, actually 40 past hour number two, when the middleweight champion of the world, Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, is in studio with me. Sam Amick coming up in hour three. We're talking about the Cavaliers getting on to the second round, LeBron getting the help he needs finally. David Akers tried to burn Dallas to the ground. In fact, my thoughts on the rest of the NFL draft. We'll pick up that conversation also when we come back. The LA Dodgers are not playing well. Last year's Rookie of the Year, Cody Bellinger, benched for not hustling, for dogging it. Or maybe he wasn't, and Dave Roberts was trying to send the entire team a message. All of that coming up, and your telephone calls. But time.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm going to talk about a kicker who put all of Dallas into a gigantic body bag. That's coming up in a moment. Quick reminder, on Monday, it's an ATP Day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit a question. You know I'm going to read one of them later on. And remember, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I've made the statement a number of times on the program. I do not root. I do not play favorites. They pay me to be impartial. I'm objective. You know this to be true. I do not have a favorite team. I don't have a favorite athlete. I don't root ever for anything other than something to talk about because I've got 3 hours of real estate every single day that I have to fill. I don't care who wins. I mean that sincerely. I really don't. I never have. Now, that said, we do have certain relationships, jungle relationships, and I will go as far as to say this is a big insert. Coach or athlete house. Fact is, this is a big Cruz Pedregon house. Because while there have been athletes that represent the show, that like the show, that respect the program, I'm not sure there's any active athlete right now that has gone to the extent that Cruz Pedregon has. I mean, my man is a world champion, and he's repping the jungle on his rig. So you know Cruz, you know his story, you know his love of the jungle, and the jungle's reciprocal love for him. Cruz won his first NHRA race since 2014. Did it in spectacular fashion this weekend, so the jungle karma was real, and it was in effect. And he lobs us a telephone call right now from Charlotte, North Carolina. He is the jungle's fastest clone, and he gets himself a big win for himself, his team, and the jungle. We go to him right now. Cruz, brother, what's going on? Tremendous Monday to you. How you feeling?
What is up, man? It's awesome. Appreciate the love, brother.
You tell me all about that win, Cruz. That's your first win for yourself and for the team since 2014. It's got to be so sweet. How does it feel?
Jim, after you said it all in your opening there, introducing it, it was like okay, 4 years ago is a long time. It was 92 races since we won. I heard that in the media room afterwards. And let me tell you, it felt surreal to me. In fact, even today, I woke up several times last night and just I was just like, man, if I'm dreaming, I'm going to be pissed off. But it was an old-fashioned ass-kicking from the back. You know, we raced John Force. And the thing about this particular race, Jim, is it's a four wide. In other words, you have to beat three other cars, not just one like normal. So, and we, you know, there was the best of the best. It was just out of 20-some cars, it was just four left, and we got the win. And so, like I said, big win. We're feeling the jungle karma, Jim. I when you mentioned that to me, when we talked, when I was in studio a couple months ago, we talked about jungle karma and all. And it's like, you know what, I'm feeling it. And had so many fans come up to me and talk about, hey, you're going to be on Jim's show tomorrow and stuff. So it's really an honor to have for you to have us on here, Jim. And this is the jungle's first motorsports win. So I'm happy for the jungle, and I'm happy for our team.
Hey, Cruz, we're celebrating this thing right along with you and your team. And speaking of your team, not everybody on that team was there when you last won. Not everybody on that team had experienced an NHRA win before. So given the hours that these guys put in, given the sacrifices they make for you, how happy were you for them to get that win?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, much like a football team, you know, you change players out. We are in the land of free agency, so we get guys from other teams trying to pick guys off of our team just like they do in the NFL. So we've had to reboot, and actually there's like four guys on the team that had never been on a race team this year, but they had put in the hours, the long midnight, 1 o'clock hours with, you know, putting the car together, and we damaged some bodies this year. And so for them to experience that and then to come full circle and within six races on the season to be in the winner's circle, these guys were acting fools, but you know what? Hey, it was when you win, these races are so hard to win, Jim. I've been lucky to win almost 40 of them, and it doesn't get any easier. You know, there's a lot of money behind these other teams, but just like with all sports, you know, they're all trying to do the same thing. So when you can win one of these, man, you need to celebrate, let your hair down, and let it rip. So we're gonna enjoy the moment, enjoy the week. We have a race coming up this weekend in Atlanta. But, you know, we feel good about the car. I mean, the car performed, let's put it this way, of the three, of, you know, all three events, we were the first in all four lanes. So, because if you come in second, you still advance. So, heck, I beat one guy three different times, and I'm thinking, man, the odds of that is pretty tough. But, hey, we overcame the odds, Jim. And really, my team is kind of more like the, you know, we're like the little engine. You know, we're a smaller budget team, but we're fighters. We scratch and claw, and it's one for the little guy, and we're still making a difference.
The jungle's fastest clone, Cruz Pedregon, gets the win for the first time since 2014. Cruz, you said we're going to enjoy this one, we're going to celebrate this one. So after a win like that, what's the adult beverage of choice?
We had everything flowing here. We were not bashful. It was mainly beer, but I'm glad I didn't, you know, I know enough. I'm a veteran at this. I know enough in the euphoria of the moment, the win. And you're younger, you just drink anything in sight, but you pay for it the next day. So I kept it with beer. I think I was drinking three or four different brands. One of my guys had a sombrero on and a winner's circle hat on and a bottle of tequila. And in the other hand, I thought this guy's going to not be feeling it. He's not gonna be feeling good the next day. But it was, like I say, it was just you know, when we come back from a win, we do the winner's circle, all the photos, we have to come back and put the car away. In other words, we have to bring the car back in, lift it up on the jacks, do all of our service work. So I told my guys, I go, hey guys, you had a couple beers, let's be safe, let's put the car away, and then after that you can let it rip. But we were actually partying so late last night. It's like one of my favorite sayings, Jim, is remember that sideline of Mike Singletary when he goes, I like that kind of party, baby. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. You know it. You know it.
That's one of my favorite sayings. So anyway, huh?
Go ahead.
So anyway, we're going to do a team dinner tonight and let the guys, you know, last night it was late. We're all dirty and tired. So, yeah, tonight we're going to do a team dinner. But, hey, the celebration will continue. And the way I look at this, sports is about pressure. You're always under the gun, and sometimes pressure cannot be the best thing when you enter an event. You're not loose. You're not So I think this win is going to loosen our team up, including myself a little bit, where we can kind of just let it happen. And because, you know, it 4-year drought with sponsors to answer to, it's, you know, you've got to produce. And I think this meant a lot to Snap-on, Toyota, some of our main, you know, our primary sponsors. So it's good for the wallet, but it's also good for, you know, for the people that support our team.
It's good for everybody. Cruz Pedregon getting the win, and it's good for my man Caleb Cox, who's picking us up too. Cruz, enjoy that one. I know it's back to business, but the jungle is all fired up about it. So thank you very much, man. Great job, and I know we'll talk again soon.
Jim, it's an honor, man. You're the best.
You too, Cruz. Good job. Great win for you and for that team. Pick them up, Hawk. Cruz Pedregon, first win since 2014. Handled that like a boss. And I see it working, Cruz. We do not bounce back the way we used to. So go ahead and enjoy that moment. You know better. Let the young guys who've never had that moment enjoy that moment. But time to get back to work quickly. Clones, hit him up on Twitter. Cruz loves that. Hit him up on social. Let him know you know about the win and that you're fired up for him. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so let me talk about the city of Philadelphia for a minute. Straight living its best life. That's my tease. That's my tease. Philadelphia, straight living its best life. You know it is. You tell me a hood that you'd rather be repping right now than Philadelphia. You tell me there's another one you'd rather be repping, I'm going to call you a liar. Not if you're paying attention. Not if you see what they're doing right now. Things have never been better in Philly. Cruz getting lots of love for his win. Redskins 4416051 tweets. Cruz, love it. Nice work, Jim. Congrats on the win, Cruz Pedregon. I didn't do anything. I picked up the phone. But I'll take credit for that, too. The karma, I guess. At Lawson Racing 20L is in. Rome, what a great win for at Cruz Pedregon yesterday. Not only breaking a 92-race winless streak, but taking down the mega teams at the same time. Hashtag jungle karma. That's a great point. Cruz trying to make the point that, man, it is so hard to win. You have no idea how hard it is to win on this circuit, especially going up against some of those big, big money teams. It's hard to get a win. So not only did he get a win, not only does he not have to answer that question, hey, Cruz, when's it going to happen? How long has it been? When's it going to happen? Not only does he not have to worry about that, getting the win is the thing, but to beat who he beat is something different. And he beat some legends. And he mentioned that a number of clones said, hey, great job, Cruz. Are you going to be in the jungle tomorrow? The other thing that I didn't get a chance to mention with him, there were competitors. He had peers. I mean, this guy is so well-liked and so well-respected on his circuit. There were peers coming up and saying, hey, man, great job. Like, his fellow competitors were fired up for him. In other words, if it can't be me, I'm glad it's you. That's how well-respected he is and how well-liked he is. Look, the guy's repping our show on his rig. He's got the jungle decal on his car. I didn't ask for it. You know what that costs normally to get that kind of run? Didn't charge me anything for it. Just the man's love of the jungle. And you clones, that he reps the jungle on his car. So be damn sure as to know if he gets his first win in 92 races, we're putting him on in hour number one to talk about that win. Mac Moore is on Twitter. Cruz, freaking Pedregon. So happy for him. Cruz for president of the jungle drinking team. Yeah, but Cruz did say he had to be responsible. That he knows back in the day. He said back in the day, you get a win like that, I drink anything in front of me. Not anymore. Yesterday, just a few beers. This email. Hey, Rome. Cruz puts the jungle sticker on his car for free? Do you think that he could help me out and put my GoFundMe decal on his car? Nothing major. I'm just thinking the complete front windshield. Signed, Iray.
It is the iraycraig@yahoo.com.
Brother, is that an email address or a GoFundMe page?
It's a GoFundMe page.
No, it's not. No, it's not, Iray. That's definitely an email address. He'd have to block out the entire front windshield. TheIRayCraig@yahoo.com. My man's up to $1,400. Although I thought that he was up to $1,400 like last Thursday. I think he's plateaued at $1,400. But he said he needed $2,500. And they said he needed 20, but he's stuck on 14. 1,400, not 14 Kerr. 1,400. Clones, all that's going to get him is a foreword and a table of contents and maybe chapter one. Triple G, Gennady Golovkin in studio next hour. I've got my Smack Off announcement coming up and also a kicker trolling Dallas still ahead.